So there was a priest, a minister, and a guru who were discussing the best positions for prayer. And a telephone repairman was working nearby. "Kneeling is definitely the best way to pray," the priest said. "No," the minister replied. "I get best results standing with my hands outstretched to heaven." "You are both wrong," the guru said. "The most effective prayer position is lying down on the floor." The repairman could not contain himself any longer and said, "Fellas, the best praying I ever did when I was hanging upside down from the telephone pole." It's true to the saying, there are no atheists in a foxhole, right? As we are cruising through the summer season and we renewing our bodies and spirits through rest and warm weather, we continue our reflection as we've been the past several weeks on discipleship, like being a good neighbor through the practice of hospitality and listening. And today we add the linchpin of prayer to our discipleship toolkit, praying like Jesus, praying with shameless persistence as he insists. The Lord's Prayer is handed down and is one of the most famous prayers ever. Yes, it's one of the first things we all learn to memorize as kids. It's recited millions of times a day in hundreds of different languages. For a prayer of such importance, it has humble roots. Luke very casually says that when Jesus uttered this model prayer, it just happened one day in a certain place. And one disciple who we don't know saw Jesus praying and said, "Gee, Jesus teaches to pray, just like John taught his disciples." Spiritual leaders like John or Jesus had unique habits that set them apart from other different groups. So the Lord's Prayer sets us apart as Christ followers. It is indeed a map to the values of life rooted in Jesus. Luke, in this gospel, records 9 prayers of Jesus more than any other gospel. And according to our gospel passage, we are to pray. The word really is shameless persistence, to pray boldly for our needs. Prayer for Jesus was like breathing, woven into our very being and forming the foundation from which all life flows. So how does the Lord's Prayer transform us? The prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, you know, really should be called the disciples' prayer, right? It's really the disciples' prayer because it is a guide for our life of faith. Now, much like in the Beatitudes and the Ten Commandments in their structure, we can divide the disciples' prayer into 2 parts. The first part of the prayer reveals our relationship with God, and the second part describes our relationship in the community with others. The disciples' prayer reminds us to come to God with the utmost confidence that we would approve as a loving father. Note, nowadays we pray this prayer, it is not my dad or your dad, but our dad. We say our father, right? The disciples' prayer then is communal and includes all people. While each one of us prays alone and privately throughout the day, prayer is more than a solitary act. We are also called to pray together and pray for each other. And before this holy and precious Father, we claim the realm of God, God's kingdom, and God's will as our utmost ardent desire. All prayer flows from this. There is no finer prayer than to say, "Thy will be done." Isn't that what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Now, the second half of the disciples' prayer establishes 3 interesting spiritual needs. We pray for our daily bread, really all the sustenance that we need, perhaps even a strength of character, the resources to live out and nourish our day. Second, every day we pray for forgiveness and to forgive. This is the major teaching of Jesus, is it not? To remember, we are fallible, we make mistakes, and we need to own up to them. Because by the measure we judge, Jesus reminds us, we shall be judged. And third, we pray to be delivered from evil, because the truth of the matter is the evil one is always constantly looking to pull us down, as God is always striving to pick us up, lift us up. So this disciple's prayer begins connecting us to God's love and will for our lives. It roots us in the present, while the prayer ends reminding us of the reality of evil that tries to subvert us away from the resources that we need to keep us from forgiving and being forgiven, and to ignore the evil in the world. While the content of the disciples' prayer is important for us to meditate on and live out, Jesus does something else in this passage. He stresses the shameless persistence of prayer. Prayer should be ceaseless, embedded in every thought and deed we do. And the two brief parables in this passage are examples of how Jesus teaches us to be audacious and persistent in prayer. The friend at midnight story reminds us that prayer pops up all the time and does not wait for convenient moments or seasons. And the word persistence is really better translated as a shameless persistence. If someone gives bread at midnight as an annoying persistence of a friend, how much more will God supply our needs? And what about the parent-child analogy, which Jesus shares? Any parents among us will tell you that a son and daughter who ask for a fish or an egg is unlikely to make such a request just once, right? If anything, kids tend to be doggedly persistent. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We hear from our kids. Can I watch TV now? And so forth. There are those times after being asked by your daughter for the 15th time in a row, can she have just one more cookie? And after you having said no to this request 14 times in a row, sometimes even good, conscientious parents will finally throw that cookie to the hapless child and say, there, eat it. You happy now? Our patience wears thin. Now this, are there any cat lovers among us? Well, cats are among the most audacious creatures on earth. Who hasn't dealt with a feline who walks on our face at 5 a.m. in the morning, meowing for breakfast? Until we learn to close the bedroom door, our cats, by clockwork, would come into the bedroom, climb on our faces, butt our heads, meowing and trying to get us up at 5 a.m. to feed them. Audacious persistence prayer. So, like our children, we are to practice the ceaseless prayer, this shameless persistence. If we fallible human beings end up doing right by our badgering children, how much more attentive will God be for us? God welcomes this onslaught of prayer, this shameless persistence. God is asking us to pray like that. God answers prayer in God's time and in God's way, not our time, or perhaps in the way that we want it to be answered. But we need to maintain that courage. We need to be praying with shameless persistence, hope in all we ask, in all we seek, and every time that we knock. Praying like Jesus, we become one with him and each other, and we awaken the Holy Spirit that brings us new life and new meanings. That's the purpose of prayer. Not to change God, but to change us. I want to say that again. The purpose of prayer is not to change God, but to change us. So we pray above all things that God will be done with shameless persistence and ceaseless effort. Such is the hallmark of a vital life. a vital congregation, to pray shamelessly, ceaselessly, boldly for our needs, hopes, and for the Holy Spirit power to be among us, trusting that it is our loving Father's deepest desire to grant what we need to protect us from evil, and in doing so, to bring about the kingdom of heaven right here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen, my friends.